After the meeting was over, I stopped for some time, and my mouth was opened in conversation about the goodness, mercy, and loving kindness of my covenant God in delivering, helping, and upholding such a worthless wretch to the present moment. Oh, what sweetness and liberty I felt in telling what God had done for my soul. One or two of the people were quite revived and spoke of the goodness of God who had been with us that evening. I went home full of joy, comfort, and peace, believing that the Lord was with me and had proved himself to be my prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. For prayer did not satisfy me if there were no answers. I have ever proved a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is, Proverbs 15:23. Promise upon promise flowed into my soul, one upon the back of the other, that he would never leave me nor forsake me, that he would go before me and bring up the rearward, that no weapon formed against me should prosper. My soul was so full, and that I told the Lord I wanted no more. I could now believe him, trust him, and die for his honor and glory, if it were his blessed mind and will. For several days I was very happy and comfortable in leaving all in his blessed hands. But after I had left off communing with my God and Father, I returned to my old place and the devil began his old work. How can you think of entering into the work of the ministry? Look at the importance of the work. Look at your ignorance. Look at your poverty. Look at your debts, which you have not a farthing to pay, and you have hardly a rag on your back or a shoe on your foot except what is given to you by someone or other. Oh, how my knees began to tremble, and my hair to move on my very head, and my blood to run cold, and I trembled from head to foot. Oh, cried I, in the greatest confusion and distress, what have I been doing? Am I wrong after all? How did my soul beg of God that he would pardon me if I had attempted of my own accord to think about the ministry? Here I was for a long time. Sometimes a little hope would break into my heart to prop me up for a few moments, and then again I sank fathoms and cried out, think about preaching? Oh, that I could but get rid of the thought about it. Then again the Lord would send some precious part of his word home to my soul with such power that I was willing to be anything or nothing that God might be glorified. Then I began to think it was my duty to tell some of the Lord's people how I was exercised in my mind and hear what they thought of it. Perhaps I should feel more satisfied after hearing their mind upon it. But this I never could do, for I believed in my soul if it were of God, he would impress it upon their minds as well as mine, and that they would ask me about it. Oh, what a spirit of prayer I then felt, day after day, that God would make it known to me that it was from him, by sending someone to ask me if I were not exercised about preaching. For I was sure that if God had designed me for the work, he would open the way without my opening it myself. Here I was kept for a long time, praying and watching the good hand of God. But one Saturday morning, such a cloud of darkness overshadowed me, darkness that might be felt, every promise sealed up, no access to God, with nothing but wants in the family, and not one penny to supply them with, and the devil telling me what a fool I must be to think of preaching, and praying that God would send someone to ask me to preach. Oh, my very knees smote together, and how ashamed I was of my prayers. Surely, thought I, it can be nothing but pride and presumption. Had it been from God, he would have sent someone before now. Just in these workings of my mind, believing it could not be of God, one of the deacons of the church, whose name, if I recollect rightly, was Francis, called at our house and wished me to walk out with him. When we got by ourselves, he said that he had a question to ask me, to which he hoped I would give him a faithful answer. "Have you not, John," said he, "had some exercises of mind about preaching?" I was so struck with astonishment at the question, and that I was some time speechless. He soon saw how it was, and then told me that it had been impressed upon his mind and that of others, ever since I gave in my experience at the church meeting, that God had designed me for the work of the ministry, and that they had been watching the hand of God towards me ever since. "The more we make it a matter of prayer to God," said he, "the more liberty and freedom we find, and we verily believe that he has designed you for the work of the ministry." By little and little he drew it all out of me, and I told him all the workings of mind I had had from the time I was baptized. He told me that a few of the friends had agreed to have a private meeting at his house once a week, and that each in his turn should speak from a text of Scripture as the Lord should enable him. He would take no denial, but I must promise that I would go in my turn. So I agreed to go, and the time fixed was, I think, that evening fortnight. Oh, the exercises of mind I had in that time, God only knows. But I was brought to this conclusion, to give it up into the hands of God, that as I had not opened the way myself, but that it had come in a way of providence, I believe that he designed either to put a final stop to it, or else to make it evident it was from him. And I am confident that it was my soul's desire, that if it were not of God, he would shut my mouth, and that if it were of him, he would open it, and give me a word to say, which he would own and bless to the souls of the people who might be there. At the time appointed, I went, begging of God that he would decide the matter. If he opened my mouth and the people were satisfied and encouraged me in the work, I should believe it was from him. But that if he should shut my mouth and the people were cool upon me, I should be satisfied to give it all up and leave it. Oh, the tremblings I had before I read the text. I felt as if it were impossible for me to speak. But after I had read the text, the fear of man was taken away, and the Lord broke into my soul. My mouth was opened, and I did indeed feel it to be a time of refreshing from his presence to my own soul. Matter and words flowed so fast that I quite wondered to feel my soul so melted and so humbled before the Lord. After it was over, the people encouraged me very much, and would take no denial but that I must come again, if I remember aright, in a fortnight. Oh, what a happy fortnight I had! I now believed that all was right and straight, and could not see it possible for the devil to harass me again about my call to the ministry, nor how I could doubt it any more, seeing that the Lord had answered my prayers in so many previous times of need, and had delivered me so blessedly and so evidently by his own doing. Oh, how my soul was swallowed up in the honor and glory of God! Oh, what heavenly delight I had in searching the Word of God, and what sweet satisfaction and blessed confidence in seeing that it was of God, and that the Lord himself had opened the way. My soul was as confident that the Lord would be with me as that I was born, and I longed for the fortnight to pass away, that I might go again and speak in the name of the Lord. It was my soul's request to spend and be spent in the cause of God and truth, for it was dearer to me than life itself. When I went the second time, the room was quite full, and the Lord was with me very sweetly and preciously, and the people seemed all alive. As soon as I had finished my message, pride began to boil up in my heart. "They think that you will be a very great preacher. See how the people are pleased and how cheerfully they sing." And I thought so myself too. After concluding, I overheard some of the people whispering how well I had preached, and they had no doubt I should be a very great preacher. And one of them whispered to another that he was sure I should be a second Gatsby. Oh, how sweet was this to my old man! How it gratified him to the very heart! Poor fool! I was carried away with pride to such a degree that I blush to write a thousandth part of it. All the way home I was so carried away with my greatness and what I was likely to be that at times I hardly knew whether I was upon my feet or on my head. Sometimes I wondered in what place I should be settled. Surely, thought I, it must be in some great town or other. It will be in London. If I am to be so great a man, and to have so great a work to do, it must be in London. For all the great, thought I, go there, and that, thinks I, will be my place in the end.